Tonight, our speaker is a person, Brother H.D. Simmons. He's been preaching over 50 years. He's with us tonight from Portland, Texas. At this time, Brother Simmons, we'll let you come on. The theme is, it's hot time. Wake out of sleep about answering Jesus' call. It's your time, Brother Simmons.
Thank you, brother. Glad to be with you tonight. I'm honored to be a part of this great program. And I ask you to write down the scriptures that are mentioned so you can be sure that I'm telling you the truth. Doesn't matter what I think or you think. What matters is what God thinks. And we're going to talk about awakening to the call of Jesus. Now, in Romans 13 and verse number 11, the Apostle Paul said, "And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." The Apostle Paul is calling on these people to awaken out of their spiritual slumber. And I am pleading with you tonight to awake to the call of Jesus Christ. You must understand, many calls come to us throughout our lives, but by far the sweetest and the most beautiful call comes from Jesus. And yet you must understand there are other calls calling for you, calling for your life, calling for your dedication. I want you to understand that the call of the world is strong. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, the Apostle John says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is of the world and not of the Father. Whoever abides in these things," John says, "will pass away. And this world will pass away. But our Father will never pass away." So John tells us not to be allured by the world. In Romans 12:2, Paul says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God." The Lord said in 2 Corinthians 6:17, as he spoke of the world, he said, "Come out from among them and be you separate and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you. And I will be your Father, and you will be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord Almighty." The Lord calls us out of the world, not to be just like the world. He says, come out from among them. He says, do not love the ungodliness of this world. He says, do not be transformed by it. Do not be conformed to the allurements of the world. Satan makes this call look so good. He sugarcoats the call of the world and makes it look like you must have it. But the truth is, my friends, tonight, you either answer the call of Jesus or you answer the call of Satan. It's not that complicated. It's that simple. You're answering one of these calls, not both of them at the same time. What's the Bible say about this beautiful call that we're talking about tonight? In 2 Thessalonians 2:14, the Bible explains that God has called us through the gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of people will tell you all these mysterious ways about how they've been called to God. What's the Bible say? The Bible says clearly, we're called by the gospel. That's a beautiful thing. Romans 1:16, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is a power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is revealed the righteousness of God from faith to faith, as written, you just shall live by faith. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is God's power to save. That's how Jesus calls us, through this powerful gospel. It is powerful. Hebrews 4, verse 12 says the word of God is living and powerful. So Jesus said in Mark 16:15 to his closest followers, I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Why? Because that's the way Jesus calls his followers, through the gospel. Friend, awaken to the fact that I'm speaking of a heavenly calling. I'm talking about a call from heaven to you. Dear friend, understand this is God's call from heaven to you. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, the Hebrew writer said, Holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. What do we learn in Hebrews 3, verse 1? The calling of Jesus is a heavenly calling. We're being called from heaven by the Son of Almighty God. And notice what he said. It's a heavenly calling, and he said, we are partakers of this heavenly calling. The word partakers in the original language means to share together. That's something precious God's people share together, this calling. It's a precious fellowship because we are partakers, sharers together in this call from heaven. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we must learn to love one another. John 13:35, Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. All these little things that divide us, think of the wonderful things we share together in God's family. We partake of that heavenly calling together. This calling of Jesus is beautiful. I want you to listen to it tonight. Write down Matthew 11:28-30. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Jesus knows what a burden it is to live on this earth. And so he says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. We're all under the heavy load of sin. And what did he promise? You come to me and I will give you rest. I will give you peace. Philippians 4, verse 4, the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your thanksgiving be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. This peace of God that passes all understanding comes through this beautiful call of Jesus. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus and his disciples were in a small boat. A storm arose. The disciples were afraid for their lives. Jesus is asleep in the back of the ship. And they go and wake Jesus up and they say, "Carest thou not that we perish?" Now, isn't that the great question we all wonder? Does God really care about me? Does God care about you? And the answer is a resounding yes, he cares. So much that he gave his son to die for you. But in Mark 4:39, the Bible says, Jesus arose and he said, "Peace, be still." And the storm ceased, the waves ceased. And my friends, I'm here to tell you tonight, Jesus can not only calm a storm at sea, he can calm the storm within your heart. He can give you this beautiful peace if you'll answer his call. Jesus said in John 6:63, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." The Apostle Peter said in John 6:68 to Jesus, "Lord, you have the words of eternal life." Think about that. The call of Jesus involves words of eternal life. John 15:3, Jesus said to his closest disciples, "Now are you clean through the word I have spoken unto you." That powerful word of God. In 1 Peter 1:22-25, Peter said that we are made clean, we are made right with God by obeying the truth. And then he said in verse 23, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is like the flower of the field. The grass fadeth away, and the flower of the field withereth, but the word of the Lord endures forever. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." And remember that gospel, that's how we're called. 2 Thessalonians 2:14, called by the gospel. And this gospel was preached, and it is still being preached. This beautiful call of Jesus is a wondrous call of love and concern. In John 3, one of the most well-known verses of the Bible, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Verse 17 said, "For God sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might have life." Jesus didn't come to condemn you. He didn't come to condemn this world. When Jesus came to this world, we were already condemned. He came to save. So in John 10, in verse number 10, he said, "I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." There are those who are members of the Church of Christ that need to awaken. You know, we get to living our lives and we get so busy, we don't notice what's going on around us. We don't even notice what's going on in our own lives. But 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith." We think we don't have time to do this. We better take time. My friends, if you have obeyed the gospel, that's not the end of God's plan for your life. If you've obeyed the gospel, the call of Jesus to you is a dedicated, devoted life. In Matthew 16, 24 through 26, Jesus said, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life will lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus gets very clear. If you want to follow me, Matthew 16, 24, first you have to deny self. That means saying no to your own passions and desires that are against the will of God and putting God first in your life, putting God and his kingdom as the priority. In Romans 12, verse number 1 and 2, Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. That's God's call to you, my friend. If you've obeyed the gospel, present your body, your entire being, as a living sacrifice to the Lord. And don't let this world conform you to its ungodly standards, which change every few minutes. Titus 2:14, Paul said, Jesus gave himself for us that he might deliver us from this present world, that we might be a zealous people, a peculiar people, who are zealous of good works. Jesus gave himself for us that we might be a people who belong to him and who are excited about doing what is good. Friends, the call of Jesus, it's not some mysterious thing that you hear about. The call of Jesus is a call into his kingdom. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 12. The Bible says that God has called you unto his kingdom and unto his glory. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 12. So God has called us unto this kingdom. That means the reign of God in your life. Colossians chapter 1 verse 13. What a beautiful passage. God has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. In his kingdom, we have redemption, forgiveness of sins. But you must be in that kingdom. Colossians 1:13, you've been delivered from the power of darkness. That word delivered means rescued. God is calling out. His Son is calling you to rescue you from the life you are now living. My friend, you don't have to live the way you're living now. It can be different. You could be living for God. The call of Jesus is a call to religious unity. Look in your Bible in Ephesians 4 Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 6. During that beautiful passage, Paul said, "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called." Vocation means calling. So he said, "I'm begging you to walk worthy of the calling by which you've been called." And then he explains in verse 2, "with all lowliness and meekness, forbearing one another and long-suffering." This is what he's calling us to. And then in verse 3, that we would endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then he gives us these beautiful instructions about unity in verse 4 through 6. He says in Ephesians 4, verse 4, "There is one body, even as there is one hope of your calling." There's only one Spirit, only one hope. And in verse 5, he said, "There's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism." Then in verse 6, "one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all." Now, everybody agrees with verse 6 that there's only one God. But do you agree earlier in this same paragraph that there's only one faith? Oh, no, there are many faiths. Not according to God. God says there's one faith, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, verse 5. How can you believe there's one God and not believe there's only one faith in verse 5? You just take the parts out of the paragraph that appeals to you. It's the Word of God we're looking at, not some human creed. We can't just pick and choose what we want, please God. So what a beautiful calling it is. How wonderful it is. One of the clearest ways we learn is by example. And God gives us many examples in the Bible to make things clear. I want to show you an example tonight of how you answer the call of Jesus so there will be no question in your mind. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, the Holy Spirit of God came upon the apostles and began to speak through them. They preached a beautiful sermon. Can read it for yourself. But I want you to look in Acts 2, verse 36. When they heard this sermon, it says, when they heard this, when they heard the gospel, when they heard the calling of Jesus, what did they do? Look in your Bible, Acts 2, 36. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They asked what to do. And Peter said, "Accept the Lord as your Savior and you will be saved. Just believe on Jesus and you're right with God. Just repeat this little prayer and you will be answering God's call." He didn't say any of that. That's what modern religion says, but they're wrong. When they said, "What shall we do?" in verse 37, Peter answered clearly in verse 38. "Repent." That means turn away from your sins and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ or by his authority. For what purpose? For the remission, forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now look at verse 41. They, therefore, that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They preached the gospel. They asked, what do we do? The answer is in verse 38 for anyone who really wants to know how to answer God's call. In verse 41, those who will gladly accept it and obey it, God will accept them. Now look in verse 47. These same people were praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved, or those who were being saved. Those who were being saved, who did what they were told in verse 38, God added them to his church. This is long before any denomination ever existed. It's just Christ's church. In Matthew 16:18, he said, upon this rock I'll build my church, not my churches. So when you obey this, you are added to his church, whether you did it in the first century or you do it tonight. God will add you to his church because he's no respecter of persons. Now that's how the call is answered. That's how you read it was answered in the Bible. And God has not changed. In Acts 22:16, a man asked some very serious questions about the Lord. He wanted to be right with God. And God sent a preacher to him named Ananias. And this preacher said to him in Acts 22:16, why do you tarry? Why do you delay? Arise, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. You hear the call of Jesus, and you call back to him by obeying his gospel, then your sins are forgiven. It's a call of unity. God doesn't call one person into one church and another person into a completely different church, or one person into one doctrine and somebody else into a different doctrine. 1 Corinthians 1:10, Paul says, I beseech you by the Lord Jesus Christ that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Modern religion does not respect these verses. In John 17:20-21, Jesus prayed. He prayed for his disciples, and he said, neither pray I for these alone, but also for them that will believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as he and the Father are one. Yes, you can answer this call. You can be a Christian without being a member of any denomination. Simply obey the same gospel tonight, and you'll be added to the same Lord's church. It hasn't changed. Many of you have done that. But I've seen through the years one of the saddest things. Many of you that I love so dearly have gone back into the world. May I please tell you your true condition before God? Please read 2 Peter 2:20. It says it would be better if you had never heard the truth than to obey this call of Jesus and then turn away. You can come back to him. He wants you back. He loves you. We love you. We will help you. This brother on the phone will help you. The call of Jesus. What a beautiful call. Thank you for listening.